All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Stronghold Baptist Church. If you can grab your hymnals and open up to Psalm 146. Psalm 146, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Psalm 146. All right, church, let's sing this out with all our hearts.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever hill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
On the last,
oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
Amen. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this church, Father. Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone on their way here to church, Father, that they drive safely, Father. It is not snowing, Lord, and I'm sure the roads are kind of dangerous and stuff, Lord, so I just pray that you keep those people safe, Father, if they're coming to church. Lord, bless everybody that's here to hear the preaching and the singing, Father, and I pray that preaching and singing honor you and edify everybody here, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, let's turn to our next song, Psalm 355. Psalm 355, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Psalm 355. All right, church, let's sing the song on the first.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share?
Amen. All right. Great singing this morning. This time we're going to go through our announcements. If you do not have a bulletin, just slip your hand up real high and we'll make sure you get one out to you. If you open up to the first page, you'll see the service times listed there. As always, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday afternoon again at 4 p.m. Wednesday night 7 is our Bible study. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter number 40 this week. We've got the soul winning opportunities listed there, as well as the salvations and baptisms for the month of January, as well as for 2022. Is there any salvations to report, any salvation numbers report for the week?
Friday.
Is that included in that? Okay. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Excellent. All right. Very good. We are going to go soul winning today, just with the weather and everything. So one that we've already hit in the past, but it's been a while since we've been there. So we'll just make it pretty easy, very close. Try to make it real convenient for y'all, anyone who's planning on going out soul winning this afternoon. So just come and, you know, of course, make sure you talk to me before you leave for lunch. And actually, we're going to get everyone who's going soul winning together in a group, okay, right after service. So we're doing things a little bit differently. I just want to know that I know who all is planning on going and that everyone has partners before we head out today. So it's a lighter crowd today, of course, but just we're gonna get in this pattern of doing this every week. So if you're planning on going out soul winning this afternoon, just make sure you hang back and gather up with me. Offering totals listed on there bottom of the page for the month of January. Prayer requests, not a whole lot to update on. I think everything's kind of continuing normally, so just continue to pray for everybody who's on this list. I added Verity Baptist Church. Pastor Roger Menes, Sacramento, California, is our church and pastor that we're praying for this week. On the next page, January Bible Reading Challenge. So hopefully you've been keeping up with this. We're halfway through. Should be in 1 Corinthians if you're following this pattern or something similar. If you're in the book of 1 Corinthians, you should be doing just fine. And we've got 31 days in the month of January to complete the entire New Testament. And that's a challenge. So Bible memory passage, we're on week 2 of memorizing Hebrews chapter number 1. We got 7 weeks to complete this. If you're able to complete this word perfect by the deadline, be able to quote it out loud without making any mistakes, then you'll earn a prize for that. I do not have the prizes for Psalm 150 today, but I do plan on having them by next week. So it's not that big of a prize, so don't get too excited, but I should have them next week, and as well as the invites too. I mentioned I did not receive the invites yet for that are the ones that we should be using. The ones that we currently have was an error in ordering. Obviously, they still work. It still has all the relevant information that we need. It's got the plan of salvation on the back and everything. But those were the first copy of those invites when we didn't have an established meeting location. So the service times and meeting locations were not printed on the invites, but now they are. So I'm waiting to receive those. I should be getting those any day now this week. And then what we're going to do is we're going to move the stock that we have right now, just keep it and hold on to it until we're ready to move. Roughly, you know, by the time our lease is ending in the next, you know, in the couple months prior to that, we'll just start burning through these ones so that way people can look on the invite or look on the website for our new address if we've already moved by the time they decide to come, you know, because sometimes you hand out these invites and people don't come to church right away and they might sit on it for a little while. So we want to make sure this will work out perfect for that. It's not a big deal, but we'll be getting those new ones in. So it's best if you have an old stash, if you have, you know, just some of the older invites in your car or wherever you keep them, your house, use those instead of the ones that we have right now if you can. If not a big deal. Just, you know, do whatever. Upcoming events. So this Saturday we've got the men's preaching class, 10 a.m. right here. Any men interested in learning how to preach, you want to have an opportunity to preach, then you're welcome to come and join us. We're planning on 10 to 15 minute sermons, which is pretty standard what we've done in the past. And we'll be going over a lot of different things. So come on out. If you're a man and you'd like to learn how or even get an opportunity to preach, Come on out on that Saturday. We'd love to have you here for that. Camping trip, May 9th through the 14th. Obviously something you definitely don't want to miss at all. We've got that. There's a sheet back there for a sign-up. You go ahead and fill that out if you plan on attending. I keep forgetting to make that more formalized, but it works. It's a piece of paper. Write down if you plan on coming or not, so we know how to plan for that. And then the upcoming birthdays and anniversaries are listed down there. I guess we don't have any anniversaries this month, but a lot of birthdays. So happy birthday to those having birthdays coming up this week. And that's about it for our announcements. So I'm going to ask Brother Peter. Actually, no, hold on a second. No. It's not it for announcements. Not it. I almost forgot. And I want to make sure I explain this properly, too. So I'll probably go over it tonight. We're missing a lot of people. So every year I give giving statements to people who have donated, given offerings, tithes, whatever, to the church. Okay, I just want to make sure this is clear. This is for your own records to show what you've given us. If you either write a check or put money in an envelope and put your name on it, then we record that you've given that to us every service. And then at the end of the year, I compile everything that was given throughout the entire year. So you can choose, if you want to, use that information for your tax filings. That's pretty much the purpose for doing it. So I give you this. You do what you want with it. If you care about it or not, doesn't matter to me. But I have one for everyone who has given. And you know, it's over a certain amount. You know, if you've given like $20 or something, like, you're not going to get a statement for giving $20. It's not even going to matter at all on taxes anyways. But essentially, you can choose to do this. Now, I have it printed on here, everything it says. You know, we're not registered 501c3, but I do believe we're still a nonprofit organization. We're still a church that falls under the IRS guidelines. We meet all the criteria of being a church, which means, to the best of my understanding, we should be a tax-deductible charitable giving organization. So I'm not the tax expert or professional, so I print that out there saying this is my understanding. You know, to the best of my understanding, this is the way it is, but you do with it what you want to do with it. Now, a lot of people don't itemize their tax deductions, and it doesn't even matter anyways because you do an easy form and whatever. It doesn't make sense, but for some people, it does. In any case, we have them here, and while I'm on the subject, you know, I decided I don't want to preach a sermon. I preached a sermon on this in the past, but, you know, as we get new people and things, I want to make sure people understand, you know, I don't think that claiming your giving on your tax returns is stealing from God. I've heard people say that before. I've heard that, you know, people teach that, but I don't believe that for one second. Now, what I believe that people should be doing is, if you're tithing, which you should be tithing, I think everyone should be tithing. If you're tithing, you tithe on the gross of what you get paid. So whatever amount of money, and you know, I preach whole sermons about this. I'm not going to go into detail on it, but essentially the way that I view it, and you may view it differently, and you do what you want to do, and it's between you and God. Doesn't matter to me one bit. You do what you want to do. Just explaining the way that what I teach here, what I believe here. I tithe on gross because, if you're being hired, you're getting a certain salary or pay or whatever it is, like that's your pay. Now, just because the government comes in and steals some of that money before you even get it, I still tithe on the amount that I am supposed to be getting paid, right? Regardless of what the government does. So some people don't do that. You do what you want to do. But when it comes then to getting money back from the government, right? So at the end of the year, you're filing and saying, okay, well, I gave all this money, so I should be taxed less. All you're doing is not letting the government have more of your money. There's nothing against God in doing any of that. You're just letting the government have less of your money. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you get money back, I don't tithe on the money on my return. If they've taken money from me, out of all my paycheck, and I end up getting that money back, I've already tithe. That's what you should say. I tithe on the gross. I don't tithe on my tax return because I've already tithed on that money. They're just giving me some of that back. So real simple. Obviously, you know, people might have some varying different details or whatever. You figure out what you want to do with that. I just wanted to throw that out there, you know, for people. You could look back at sermons in the past. You ask me if you want, if you're interested in the subject more. I'll give you a title of a sermon that I don't know off the top of my head. I've done it before where I've gone into all the details. Just look for any sermon on tithing, and I kind of talk about, not necessarily always about the taxes stuff, but just in general for tithing and stuff like that. So I have these for everybody here. And in fact, I'd like, Brother Lindsay, do you mind just helping me pass these out? I'll start getting through some of the people I know are here for sure. All the people on top pretty much here. Go ahead and start passing those out. And if anyone has any discrepancies, like if you keep track of your own giving and you say, Pastor Berzins, I gave, you know, more or whatever, then please let me know. I'm pretty confident in our records, but if you know, obviously I make mistakes too. I create all these on a spreadsheet, so if I miscopied something, if I didn't include something, I've got a few more here, thanks. Then please let me know. But that is what that's all for. So any questions on that, you can come and talk to me after service. I'd be happy to answer your questions. And that's about it. So Brother Peter, come on up and lead us in our next song, please.
All right, church, if you can open up your hymnals to song number 363. Psalm 363, Wonderful Words of Life. Psalm 363. All right, church, let's sing this out on the first.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life.
Sunday morning offering. I'm going to ask Brother Lindsay if you can please do that for us. Church, while the offering plate is being passed around, if you can open up your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 5. That's the book of Acts, chapter 5. And as we do customary here at Stronghold Baptist Church, we're going to read the entire chapter. I'm going to ask Brother Jesse if he can please do that for us.
But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira's wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which are buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning, and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the senate, the council together, and all the senate and the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple, and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men, for before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank this time you've given us to come here to gather together to sing praise your name, to hear the word of the Lord preach, and we pray you bless the service right now. Let all be done for your honor and glory. Bless Pastor David Burson, filled with the Holy Ghost, so he can teach us the word of God and edify us in the faith, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Acts chapter 5 is an awesome story. I love getting the encouragement from the story. We're going to focus in. We're going to look a little bit here at the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Disciples is one of my favorite books. I love going through this. It's actually my very favorite book, looking at all the things that the disciples did and, you know, all of the actions that they performed. And that's, you know, that's what is exciting, and that's why the Christian life ought to be exciting to you. If it's not very exciting, if you think the Christian life is dull and boring, then you need to do more. I mean, that's the bottom line. The book of Acts is a book of actions. Why is it so exciting? Because they're doing stuff. I mean, they're going out and they're preaching the gospel, and they're, you know, there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of excitement because they're doing something. If you just come to church, go home, live your life, come back, go to church, you know, just repeat, there's something missing. A big thing missing, okay? The Christian life is not just you going to church once a week. The Christian life is so much more to that. And if you really choose to follow in the disciples' footsteps, follow in Jesus' footsteps, then you will find that it is a very exciting life. It's not dull. It's not boring. It's not dreary. Oh, you have to follow those rules. It's so boring. Look, this life is not boring.
Right.
It doesn't have to be, put it that way. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be boring. Acts chapter 5, not a boring chapter at all. What do we have going on here? Well, look at, I just want to highlight a few points here with the disciples and the things that take place over the whole course of this chapter. And then, of course, finishing up with that last verse, very famous verse that we love to preach on and love to get just hear and read to get stirred up about, you know, preaching the gospel. But that last verse, I think, has the most impact because of everything that comes before that last verse. So while that last verse is awesome, daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen, right? There's a lot daily they're preaching Jesus Christ. It's not just once a week. It's not just 1 hour a week. They're daily going forth and preaching the gospel. You can preach an entire sermon just on that fact. That's awesome. But the reason why that last verse has so much impact here in chapter 5 is because everything that happened in between, because of all the obstacles and struggles and opposition that the disciples faced, and then they still say daily, they ceased not. They didn't stop to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's take a look a little bit what happened here. We read the whole chapter, but let's just go back real quick and look at some highlights. Verse 17 says, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Now, why were they filled with indignation? Because they're healing sick people, because they're doing good works. I mean, they're going to do good deeds. Well, they're doing it on the Sabbath day, or they're doing it in the name of Jesus. You know, these things they don't like, but they're already doing these actions. The high priest, he's filled with indignation against these. Oh, I can't believe that they're doing this stuff. It says, and they laid their hands on the apostles. What does that mean? They arrested them.
Yeah.
It says they laid their hands on them. They're not anointing them to be, you know, pastors of churches. They laid their hands on them, right? They took them. They seized them. It says, and put them in the common prison, right? They literally, physically grabbed them and said, nobody, you're coming with me, because they're mad at the healings and the teachings that they're going around and doing. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now, this one little section is exciting enough. I mean, imagine that happening. You're out preaching the gospel. You get arrested, right? You get tossed in jail. I mean, it's not fun, but it's exciting, right? It's not boring, for sure. You have something like that happening to you. You get cast in prison, and then an angel comes and is like, hey, go free. And not only go free, go and keep doing exactly what you were doing. Do the exact same thing that just got you arrested. What's the point of the arresting? They want to scare the disciples. They want to silence them. They want to stop the work. So they think by intimidating, by arresting, by casting into prison, no, 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 you're bad. We're going to make this stop. You're all going to face, to some degree, the opposition that's going to make you want to stop. And there's many, 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 many things that you could face that's going to make you want to stop. This is one thing. Maybe you'll never face this. I don't know. Things are getting more and more turbulent and tribulent in the times that we live in. So far, we generally speaking are still free to preach the gospel without threat of arrest, in general. Yeah, it happens occasionally from time to time. Oftentimes, that has more to do with how situations are being handled, with personalities involved, than it has to do with a full-on assault on preaching the word of God. But that day probably isn't very far where you are going to have enough people in power going, we don't like this. They have indignation against what you're preaching and what you're saying. I mean, you're already seeing the speech getting censored. You're already seeing people getting shamed by the one group of people who has their own opinion that no one else can contradict, right? It's not a shame for most of what they're fighting against, right? It's most of the people who are having this cancel culture respond to them. Most of them are in the right anyways. But anyway, I don't want to get off into that. That's not the point. The point is the disciples here, the apostles, are getting thrown into prison, and the angel of God's coming and freeing them and saying, hey, just go right back to doing what you're doing. You're doing the right thing. Keep going. And they do. They don't back down. They don't go, well, man, I mean, I was just arrested. I don't want to do that again. That wasn't fun, going to prison. But there they are, right back out on the street again. They're just like, awesome, yeah, sweet. We got a jailbreak. We're out doing the same exact thing. And the reason why, you say, oh, but they're criminals. They went to prison. No, they were doing what was right. Right. It's okay to go right back and do the same thing because they didn't do anything wrong. Right. And you don't have to be ashamed or covered up. When people steal and kill and commit other crimes, if they were to get set free, yeah, they ought to worry and not go back out and just do the same exact thing to land them in prison. But these guys didn't do anything wrong. They're not criminals. Just because these people have indignation against the Lord, against God, and they hate what they're saying, they're doing everything right, and God's saying, just keep doing that. And just another point, too, I was considering preaching on Romans 13. Romans 13 talks about the powers ordained of God, and some people will take that way too far into just this total bowing down to everything the government says. But obviously, when it comes to serving the Lord, if people are trying to silence you from doing the work of God and they make it a law and they're going to cast you into prison, God still wants you to do it. Right. So you don't just bow down and, well, I can't do it because the government said I can't do it. Yeah. Well, I can't go and knock on doors and try to preach the gospel to people. The government said I can't do it. No. No. Because that's what the government was saying to the disciples here, to the point where they're throwing them in prison. But God said, keep doing it. Jump down to verse 25. Then came one and told them. So this is when the chief priests are just trying to figure out, what happened. Where are these guys? I thought we put them in prison. You did. So someone comes and tells them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Those guys that you just cast in prison, they're right back in the temple. And they're teaching. Verse 26. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And you know what? That's the place that you want government to be in. Yeah. This is not, has nothing to do with the sermon, but when the government fears the people, you know, you have a lot more liberty. When the people are fearing the government, then you have a lot more tyranny. And when the cops show up here, right, these officers, to go apprehend these guys, you know, maybe normally they would have just wanted to rough them up and beat them up and do whatever and take them in because they think they're just pieces of trash because they don't like what they're saying because, you know, they don't care about them at all, right? So they're just going to treat them however they want. They can't. When at least they've got a whole group of people going, no, we want to hear this. No, these are good guys. No, what do you do? You know, like, you better be very careful taking them away, which is what ended up happening here. They feared the people. They say, well, if we mistreat these people, they're going to, you know, the whole rest of the group of people are going to get angry, and as they should, right? I mean, this would be the right dynamic that you should have. Verse 27. I mean, when people are being, arrested for non-crimes, for serving God, yeah, the people that are arresting ought to be very scared.
Yeah, that's right.
You ought to be afraid when you're going to arrest someone for doing something that's good. Good people doing good things instead of criminals. Let's keep reading here. Verse number 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now they're standing before this council, right? This is the group of people. I mean, imagine being, and I don't even know, I don't know what any of these places look like on the inside or whatever, any of these, I don't know what the equivalent would be. I mean, it's not like a city council. They have a little bit more authority than like a city council, but they're being brought before these important people, right? These officials, these people in power who are, you know, talking down to them and looking down on them and say, we're the ones in power. What do you think you're doing? I thought we already told you not to do this. You know, scolding them like a parent would scold a child and saying, what do you think you're doing? You know, you're going to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, yeah, no, you brought that man's blood upon you. The people preaching the truth aren't the ones bringing his blood upon you. You shouldn't have condemned him. You shouldn't have been the ones going, crucify him, crucify him. His blood is on your hands and on the hands of your children, like you guys already said.
Right.
When Pilate was trying to release him, he said, no, his blood be on us and on our children. You already brought his blood upon you. So they're angry about this. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. Someone has the guts to stand up and say, you know what? We don't care what you say. We don't care what you've commanded us not to do because God said to do it. So if God says to do something and you said not to, guess what we're going to do? We're going to obey God. We are not good. And he's not hiding it. He's not trying to dance around it. He's not trying to be careful with his words. He's saying, guess what? We're going to obey God and not you. Being very clear with his speech. Verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. They just got done saying, oh, you intend to bring his blood on us. He's stating the facts. You know what? You're the ones that killed him and crucified him. He's not hiding it. He's being out in the open. And you know what? That the truth fears no scrutiny. The truth, when you preach the truth, you should have no fear of reprisal of what's going to happen. You just need to preach the truth. But it's going to make these people angry. They're already angry with us. They're already threw us into prison. So what? Your job is not to conceal the truth. It's to shine, right? Doesn't the Bible say that you're supposed to be lights? Like you're supposed to be lighting the world. And just like you don't put a candle under a bushel, you don't hide the light of a candle. You're supposed to shine and shine brightly. So when you have the truth, you let that truth shine. You know, even if we teach our kids, this little light of mine, right, I'm going to let it shine. It's a great song. We should, you know, but get the teaching of this and don't be intimidated. Don't get scared when these things happen. Let's keep going. Verse number 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. It's still a good message. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. That made them even more angry. Now they don't want to throw him in prison and beat him up. They want to kill him. But it still doesn't silence the disciples. Doesn't silence them. Jump down to verse number 40. So now there's this back and forth. There's one guy who kind of is trying to talk down the rest of the council. One guy is kind of standing up and trying to give a little reason, going like, look, guys, you know, there's been other people who have come and gone. And basically, if it's not of God, it's just going to come to nothing anyway. So he's actually, I mean, he's using good logic. He's kind of talking him down from just trying to kill these people. And they finally agree, and they're like, yeah, okay, fine, we're not going to, you know, he talks them off the ledge, so to speak, from killing them. And then in verse 40 says, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So instead of killing them, they beat them. But don't let that verse just pass on by. They called them out and they beat them. I mean, imagine standing in front of the governor, you know, Brian Kemp or whoever, right? They're going and they're you know, he's charging you, and you've got these people in power, and then they're just like, okay, well, you know what? We're not going to kill you, but we're going to beat you to get this through your head that you need to stop teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't like it. And they literally get flogged, beaten, you know, however they get beaten, taking that beating, public shame in front of everybody, right? What would that do to you? Would that make you want to never do anything for God again and say, you know what, forget this, it's not worth it, I'm just going to go back to living my life, I'm going to go back to trying to live a normal life, I don't want to deal with this. That's what they want you to do. That's the whole point of doing this, is to scare and intimidate and slap you down to not want to go forward, not do anything else. But that's not the right reaction. The right reaction is what we see here, which is what makes this story, one of the things that makes the story so awesome is when it says here in verse number 42, of course, the famous verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, and were they going, oh man, what are we going to do now? Should we, were they questioning, going, should we still preach? I mean, what should we do? Should we leave? Should we, you know, what should we do? No, when they left, it says they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were rejoiced over it. They were happy, going, wow. Well, why would they be happy? I don't even understand that passage of verses. How could you possibly be happy over getting a beating? Because they know exactly what happened to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was beaten and mocked and ridiculed and crucified. If that happened to the master, and it's starting to happen to them, they know, you got to know you're doing the right thing. I mean, you're in good company, and they're saying, wow, why? Because they're suffering for the cause of, they're not suffering for their own crimes, they're not suffering because they did anything wrong or bad, they're suffering for doing good, for preaching the truth, which is exactly what happened to Jesus, and they say, well, if God is allowing this to happen to us, that we're allowed to suffer shame, then that's, praise the Lord for that. See, I still don't understand that. The closer you get, and I'm not saying I'm really close, but the closer you get to Jesus, right, the more you'll understand the joy in being more Christ-like. And the selflessness that is required to be Christ-like has joy. Like the Bible says, more blessed to give than to receive. The serving, the ministering, the giving of yourself for someone else is what's going to cause you to rejoice. You're offering up yourself as that sacrifice will bring joy. It's a reason to rejoice. So when these bad things happen, you say, you know what, we're serving God all the way to, you know, getting close to what Jesus served God with his own life. And we ought to look at things that way and revere the job that we have and stop thinking about ourselves and be willing to give of ourselves even for the cause of Christ. And when you could get to that point, like the disciples were here, they were happy. And it didn't stop them. It didn't deter them. It didn't slow them down other than just having to be in that place for however long they had to be there for, right? And then they were released. But then verse 42 says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So they just kept doing it. Just like they did before. Just like you see with Daniel, right? They make a law against praying. Well, you can't make any prayer supplication to any other god unless you got to go through the king first. You got to ask permission first to pray to God. And Daniel's like, no, I don't. I'm not going to put man before God. I'm going straight to God. And he didn't do anything different. He didn't do anything extra. He just did exactly what he always had done. And he didn't even try to hide it. And that's what I love about Daniel. We're not going to turn there, but turn if you would to Galatians chapter 6. But the Bible says that his window being open, like he made his prayer to the Lord, and he left his window open. He didn't try to go underground. Well, there's this new law. Well, how are we going to serve God now? Well, we need to go underground. No, you don't need to go underground. You need to have faith in God. Daniel could have, I mean, how easy would it be just to say, well, you know what? Because there's this new law, I'm just going to close my window just in case someone might hear me breaking the law. You might think, well, that's wise, that's prudent. Well, you know what? Daniel didn't do it. Daniel didn't think he needed to do that. He had nothing to hide. Do you need to hide? Are you going to pray to God? Do you need to hide? You do something right? Do you need to hide? You're going to serve God? Do you need to hide? No. No, you don't need to hide. You ought not to hide. Serve God in truth, in righteousness, as in the light. I mean, you're children of light. You're supposed to be walking in the light. We don't need to cover up and be ashamed of what you believe and how you serve God. As long as you're doing it biblically, right? If you're not doing it biblically, then yeah, be ashamed. You're doing everything according to the way the Bible says to do, then you're doing great. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Now we have this, the reason why this is a problem for us, we get this great, Acts chapter 5, you get this awesome teaching, it's inspiring, it's encouraging, we love reading about it, but we need to be reminded of the strength that the apostles showed in this story, because we have a flesh that's going to cause us to be influenced by the obstacles, by the people who are trying to stop you. The flesh is going to go along with that and try to bring fear into your life. And we need to be able to overcome that. Just like Jesus said to his disciples in the garden, he said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yeah, right? So we have the spirit. If you're saved, you're born again. You got the spirit of God in you. The spirit's willing. The spirit is willing. That born again child of God inside of you is willing to do whatever God wants to do. The spirit cannot sin. That's what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3. Cannot sin. That which is born of God doth not commit sin. Whatsoever is born of God doth not commit sin. So the spirit that's born of God, that doesn't commit sin. That's always going to do what's right. It's always going to want to serve the Lord. But that's not the only thing that makes us, that comprises us right now. We have this flesh. True. We've got the spirit, we got the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other. So the flesh is weak. So when the obstacles come up, your flesh is going to be going like, oh, man, this again? Your flesh is going to be going, I don't want a stripe going down my back, right? I don't want a bloody stripe. That hurts. That hurts my body. That hurts my flesh. That doesn't feel good. I don't like sleeping on a cold ground in chains. Your flesh doesn't like that at all. There's all these things that, you know, and specifically, you know, Acts chapter 5, what they're coming in with, but so many other things, even just people not liking you, people criticizing you, people railing on you, you know, whatever the case of the opposition, your flesh is going to not want to have anything to do with that. which is why we need to make sure we're walking in the Spirit and take heed and get the encouragement from the disciples. You can do it. You still have the choice. You got to overcome the flesh. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, the Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So the Bible's teaching us here again, look, your flesh, you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You're going to reap bad things. You sow to the Spirit, it's going to be good things. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get worn out. And the longer you're actively living a Christian life, the more likely you are to face a weariness. There's a weariness in the flesh. There's a weariness of not wanting to go out. There's this desire and a temptation to not want to have to deal with things. And what prompted me even preaching this sermon today is even not just, you know, people who are going to try to oppose you, like we saw in the book of Acts, or that you might experience in your life, whether it be family, friends, loved ones, whoever, right? People you don't know. Even just external. We've got this foreign substance coming down from the sky here in Georgia. Down in the south, this isn't a common occurrence. It's really cold outside all of a sudden. And you've got these big flakes coming down. And I get it. It's weird. It's just anomalous going like, what is this stuff? This happens every few years and it comes down. I'm scared. I don't want to go outside. I'm going to go to the store and stock my shelves and make sure that I am geared up for the next month because it's going to snow in one day and then be gone the next. But, you know, we got to freak out and get all upset and oh, man, I don't know. I mean, it's going to snow, so I don't know if I could go to church. I don't know if I could do anything. There is a compulsion in your flesh that's going to want to say, hey, here's the perfect excuse. Yep. Stay home. I'll get, you know, there's plenty of reasons I could give you to not want to go to church. Your flesh doesn't want you going to church at all. Right. Your flesh doesn't want you serving God. Your flesh doesn't want you going out soul winning. That's why I said in the announcements, hey, we're going soul winning today. But look, everything's voluntary. Right? I don't care if I'm the only one that goes out soul winning. I'm going soul winning today. It's easy to look at the circumstances and conditions and say, oh, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be freezing. It's going to be wet, cold. That doesn't sound like fun. Well, look, don't get too pampered in the South with this awesome weather that you always have when you get a bad day or two, right? Because you know what? There are people who live where it snows a lot, like all winter long. And you can't just plan on hibernating and not serving God. Well, I mean, it's cold outside. Well, yeah, I know. You know what? It's hot in hell.
Right.
And I've had the pleasure of living, growing up in a place that had plenty of cold, wet, snow, rain, sleet, dark, but, you know, all that stuff. And I've also lived in a place that was really, 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 really hot in the summertime. Talking about frying an egg on the concrete, you know, 120 degrees. Like, that's hot. But you can't just let those conditions dictate whether or not you're going to serve God. Honestly. Now, look, I am reasonable. I think we all should be reasonable. I think everybody ought to weigh in all factors just in general when you're dealing with things like the weather. Because I do want everyone to be safe and not to take risks that are outside of crazy risks to do something that you could do at another time or, you know. So, you know, don't go too nuts with what I'm saying right now. Everyone's in a different situation. I'm also not saying these things to condemn a decision that someone else is making with their situation, whatever. You know, there's, for example, I'm going to go soul winning today, but I'm not going to bring my two-year-old out soul winning with me today. I'm not. Okay, the conditions are too extreme for my two-year-old to be out for hours outside in this weather. I'm not going to do it. Okay? You choose what you want to do with your family. But my point is, obviously, you're going to be reasonable, but at the same time, you know, I'm not going to lie and say the thought didn't cross my mind to go, hey, instead of staying up late and writing sermons and, you know, doing everything that you need to do for church, you could just cancel church because the weather. And people would go, oh, yeah, well, I mean, it's all over the news and everyone's saying, you know, it's going to be all super bad and, you know, people are freaking out and everything else. I could have done that. The flesh wanted me to do that. But that's not happening, right? I'm not. The reason I'm bringing this up, I don't want you to think like, Pastor Burzins, what are you doing? Are you actually, you know, like, no. I mean, how many times have I ever canceled church? We did for the COVID thing for like a week or two. And there was a lot of unknowns on that, and that was not the easiest decision. But it's still not canceling serving God. There's extreme weird situations that may come up, okay? And everyone has their determining factors. What is it going to take? And those, you know, even the weather, look, I understand it's temporary. So, again, I'm not trying to shame people who didn't come today because of the weather. And there is a difference between, like, me growing up in Chicago. Well, when it snows, they've got the plow trucks out. They're making things a lot safer. Here, you don't have this whole infrastructure around something that's, you know, that almost never happens. So, I get it. It's going to be a little bit more dangerous and things like that. But my point is, right, the reason why I'm bringing this up is to be able to identify, well, what is the flesh and what is just being reasonable? What is being prudent and what is just giving in to an excuse to not do something? Because if you're just giving into the flesh and just letting any excuse keep you out from serving God, that is the problem. If you're making a rational decision and understanding and saying, you know what, it's not safe to take my family through all this, you know, I get it. I understand. You know, that's not what I'm preaching against that. Assess the situation for yourself, but don't let that flesh come in and keep you from doing something. If, you know, like I assess the situation going like, this is nothing. Maybe it's going to get worse. Maybe something will change. But for right now, let's do it. Let's serve God. Let's, you know, a little bit of rain, a little bit of sleet, a little bit of snow, cold, whatever. Dress warm. I got hat, gloves, jacket, you know, great. And we're going to pick places, too, that are going to help to be a little bit better, to make it a little bit easier to be able to do this. Maybe some areas where we got some cover. Right, instead of just going out, fine. But still, you know, we're still going to serve God. The whole point is, again, I'm not trying to shame people or knock people specifically today for not attending church or something because of the weather. My point is a perfect opportunity to allow your flesh to take over, though. And also be aware of media in general. I mean, it's increasingly more and more media hypes everything because they make more money the more people read and consume what they're putting out. So understand that there is a financial incentive for people who are supposed to just be providing you with information and facts and news or whatever. They have a financial incentive to get more people to read their stuff. More people to watch their videos, and if something sounds a lot worse, you're going to get a lot more people to watch and click and read. That's a fact. So be aware that not every, you know, just when you're consuming information in general, understand that there are other factors, motivations, and things involved, maybe potentially in what you're reading, and maybe sensationalized a little bit more than it needs to be. And that's one of the reasons why I stopped listening to Alex Jones. I mean, everything was red alert, oh man, you know, the globalists are coming, and they're gonna take, you know, it's just kind of like you can only hear that for so long and just go, okay, look, man, I know there's some important issues that need to be uncovered and exposed, but stop with the you know, alarmism. Yeah. Stop with the alarmism. And he's not the only one. I mean, it's like that all over. Like I said, with things on the internet, with things going viral, with all this stuff, there's way more potential for that to be an issue. Well, I don't know. I mean, the weather, this is going to be the worst since it's been, you know. Really? I'll believe it when I see it. I've only lived here for a few years, and the few times I've heard these great extreme weather warnings in the winter when it gets cold have all fizzled out since I've been here, all of them. Like I said, I'll believe it when I see it. And worst case, I mean, really, what's going to happen? Drive slower. Yeah. Be careful. Dress warm. Be prepared. If you get stuck on the, I mean, you get stuck on the side of the road here, like, you think you're going to die? No, you're not going to die. Everyone's got a cell phone. Everyone's got, you know, it's like, what is really going to happen? Take it all for what it's worth. And again, the whole point, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The point is to not let the flesh win. Not open up that door to your flesh wanting to be lazy. Just like the, you know, in the book of Proverbs, talks about, you know, the sluggard who says, oh, there's a lion in the way. This is like, I can't go outside because a lion might eat me. Obviously, the book of Proverbs is showing that that's ridiculous and that you can't just make your decisions on some extreme thing might happen. This lion might devour me and kill me and I can't go outside because of that. The snowstorm, I mean, we might just freeze to death. I might take my glove off and my fingers go, and it's just like frozen, like that withered hand. Yeah. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, when he's offering that up and his hand withered, like I don't want that to happen because it's going to be so cold here in Georgia. Like, no, it's not. Second Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to close on this. I want this sermon to encourage you. I want you to be able to look at your flesh and say, you know what, flesh? You're taking a back seat because we're going to serve God, one. And two, you know, no matter what the obstacle is, I don't care if it's weather, if it's someone in your life, if it's, you know, whatever the obstacle is, we need to serve God. Right. And it's not going to be comfortable. Yep. Doing what's right won't be comfortable. If you just live your life, now there's going to be times that are going to be easier than others in your life in general as a whole. But when you're serving God, you will come across plenty of times where you are very uncomfortable. Right. But you still have to do what's right. There are plenty of times where disciples weren't being beaten and cast into prison while they're preaching the gospel. They were freely preaching. But sometimes they were being cast into prison, being beaten. Right? It wasn't every single day of their life. But there was, you know, whether they were being beaten or not, they were still doing the work of God. There were plenty of times where it was uncomfortable. The Apostle Paul, as we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, has this great list. I mean, you want to talk about someone who's lived an uncomfortable life serving the Lord, look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, seriously. I mean, I even have a tendency to think that he probably ended up. Now, and it's, God's able to use everything for good, but like, I think he ended up reaping what he sowed also because he attacked the church so hardcore before he was saved. He still ended up, okay, well, now you're going to be persecuted. But the good thing about that, though, is that that extra persecution, though, he's able to receive rewards for and you know, bring a much greater testimony unto the Lord by being persecuted. So it's kind of like He may have been, and I don't know that for a fact. That's just kind of what I think, you know, seeing everything he's gone through, it may be a result of what he did in the past, but it doesn't matter because going through that actually just adds more glory unto God.
Right.
And fighting through all of those things. And he's a great example of someone who's sold out to live the Christian life and continue in spite of all opposition. Look at this list of things that he's going to bring up here, that the things that he has gone through. Verse number 21, we're going to start reading. Verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Now, why does he say I speak foolishly? He's saying he speaks foolishly because he's not, like, bragging and boasting about yourself and all of your achievements, like, that's foolish. But he is also making a point here to people who are proud and people who are, you know, comparing themselves among themselves and all these other things. With the church at Corinth, there's a lot of different problems. They were following men. They're getting into factions. They were kind of had all these various problems coming up. So he's bringing up now, like, oh, okay, you think you're all that? You want to bring up something? Well, let's compare some stories here. Let's see. You know, here's. So he's admitting, in a sense, like, hey, look, I'm speaking foolishly, but he's doing this to drive home a greater point, which is needful and important. Obviously, he's speaking under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, so it is still the right thing to do. Verse number 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. He's like, what you got? Yeah, I'm a Hebrew. I'm an Israelite. I'm the seed of Abraham, right? I'm the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. I mean, I love that part. In death, like I'm often being killed. We know that he has been brought back. He's been stoned.
Yeah.
And I would call it not killed, but not killed because, you know, whether he physically died or not, God brought him back. So he's saying in death, like, look, this is what's happening to me. You want to compare how great of a Christian you are? Well, look, I've been in labor. Labor is working abundantly. In stripes. Stripes is whips, whippings, beatings, floggings, right? Stripe is the red stripe of blood that goes across your body from receiving a lashing. He says above measure. Like, I can't even count how many times I've received stripes. I mean, what if you received one stripe? How would you? What would that do to your faith? Would you quit? He's like, I can't even count how many times I've been whipped. In prisons, more frequent. He's been in plenty of jails. In deaths oft of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times. 40 save 1, how many is that? 195. 195 lashes. Not all at the same time, but that's a lot. 39, five times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. That can't be fun. I've never been beaten with rods, but man, the amount of bruises you got to get getting beat with rods. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. He was on boats that you know, again, I've never been on a boat that was shipwrecked. He's been on three times. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And this is all for the service of Christ, mind you. This isn't, he's not talking about vacationing.
Yeah.
And the vacation went wrong, right? Like, oh, I had this cruise, but we got stranded somewhere. No, he's serving Christ. He's on missions. He's out going, preaching the gospel. These things are happening. I mean, being stuck just in the sea overnight for a day and a night, just floating in the water, like, oh, you got us beat, Paul. I mean, but he's not done. In journeyings often, verse 26, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. But perils is danger, right? I'm in a dangerous situation, whether it's the heathen, whether it's my own countrymen, whether, you know, just from everybody, essentially. There's all this danger everywhere I'm going. There's danger in the sea. There's danger among this false brethren who are liars and infiltrators trying to stab you in the back and get you killed, right? All these various things he had to deal with. Look at verse 27. In weariness and painfulness. This is going to be really the attack on the flesh, being weary. I mean, just going, spending a day and night in the deep, that's pretty wearying. But just in general, serving God, he was, you know, we read in other epistles how he was working day and night, laboring day and night, so he wouldn't be chargeable unto the people that he was going and ministering to and preaching the gospel to. He worked. He had a full-time job. He's supporting himself. He's supporting those that are with him, and he's going and preaching the gospel. Hey, there's only so many hours in a day, and when you're doing all that work, it's going to weary you. It's a physical weariness to the flesh to do that job, but he did it anyways. He didn't let that get him out. He didn't say, you know what, this is too hard. I quit. Never. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Verse 28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So besides all of these other external influences, external things you got to deal with, well, I'm also caring for these churches. Like, he helped get all these churches planted. He's going out and doing this great work. And the prayer and the thoughts and the planning and teaching and everything else on these churches, that's also a weariness. So besides everything else that could be happening outside, the care of all the churches. Verse 29, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? So you want to say, oh, well, I don't have the strength to do this, or, you know, I'm offended, I'm going to quit. The Apostle Paul is going, okay, well, yeah, how much right do you have to be offended? Look at what I've been through. But he still keeps doing it. He's going, you think you're weak? You think I'm not weak? We need to push through, plow through. There is no time for weakness. We don't have time. There's not that much time in this life in general. We only have so much time that we're given. Verse 30, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. You're saying, like, there's always these dangerous situations around. But what he's saying is, like, if I'm going to glory in anything, he's not going to glory in all these great things he's done. He's, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Why is he going to glory in his infirmities? Because the work's still getting done, which shows that, you know, it's ultimately the power of God that's sustaining him through all of these things that he's going through. Because when he's weak, that makes God even stronger. And if you take away anything, take away this: when you feel like you're weak, like you're weary, like, I don't know, man. I mean, I've been going to church 3 days a week. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. I'm going soul winning. I'm working, and it's just, I'm just worn out. Keep going, because God's going to show himself even stronger. One, he could give you the strength that you need to keep going through. You may not feel like you have all of this extra strength, but God will give you what you need on a daily basis to get through. He gives you enough. Right. And number two, that just is going to bring all, when you are weary, it's going to bring all the more glory unto God, showing his strength even stronger. If you just had all this natural skill, natural ability, everything, you know, everything taken care of, all your finances, you know, serving God is going to look easier from a physical standpoint. And people could look at you and go, oh, well, yeah, he could serve God because he has this, 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 this. He has everything given to him, right? It's like, well, no, when you're experiencing all of these other things and this weariness and all these other influences and external factors, now you're going to more and more and more give, one, the testimony is going to be stronger, and two, God's going to get more of the credit for working through you, because how could you possibly go through all that stuff? Well, the only reason is because of God. Does that make sense? So when you feel like you're getting to a breaking point, you know, God's not going to allow you. He's not going to allow you to go through things that you can't handle, ultimately. But rejoice in that and keep going and say, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Right? We're going to, you know, and if I start, I don't even want to speak foolishly and start going through some of the list of things that I've done, even though they were hard, because it would pale so greatly in comparison to what we just read. I can't even say one thing. Don't let a little uncomfortableness. I mean, now just consider, like, but it's so cold outside. Look at what we just read about the Apostle Paul. Look at what he's been through. Really? Look, I don't want anybody dying and getting in a car wreck or something today, but look to the apostles. Look at their attitudes. Look at how they serve God. Use them as examples. Let's keep working. I mean, this year just started. We got a lot of work to do. Don't be derailed early on, and definitely not by your flesh. Don't let your flesh trick you into saying, well, we're just going to take it easy. No, you don't have time for that. We don't have time to just take it easy. This life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a short time and vanisheth away. And that is true, whether you realize that or not right now. The younger you are, the less you understand that. The older you are, the way more you understand that. Time goes so fast. Every day is important. Every day. Let's not give in to gratify our flesh by being lazy. Let's serve God this year. Inspire us, have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your words, for the encouragement we could get from all the examples that we see, these great examples of men of God that served you mightily, dear Lord. I pray that you would help us to serve you as well. I pray that you would watch over us and protect us. Lord, keep us from evil. I pray that you please keep us safe. There are conditions today that are outside of the norm, and that in some regards may be considered dangerous, dear Lord. I pray that you would please watch over us and protect us. I pray that you please help us to be wise in our decision-making. And ultimately, Lord, that we would be able to reach people. Help us to reach people today with the gospel. I pray that you would lead us to those people who will be ready to hear and listen and be able to give us an opportunity to preach the gospel to them, Lord. And God, we love you. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. Brother Peter, please lead us.
Church, if you can open up your hymnals to song 375. Song 375, Work for the Night is Coming. Song 375. Let's sing this out on the first.
Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming. no more. Word for the night is coming under the sunset skies. While their bright tails are glowing, word for daylight flies. Word till the last beam faded, faded to shine no more. Word while the night is darkening, when man's work is born.
Amen. Great singing. Thank you so much for coming. You guys are dismissed. Thank you.